Shabbat Shalom. Welcome. And welcome back to all of you, children and younger people, older people, empty nesters, singles, two-parent Jewish households, one-parent Jewish households, two-parent households with one Jewish parent, two-mother households, two-father households, conversion students, college students, drifters. Welcome and welcome back. You ready to go? Raring for religion, pining for prayer. Are you jealous for Judaism, for rejuvenation? Are you high for the coming high holy days? Then you've come to the right place. I want to thank you for taking such good care of our new clergy team while I was away. Given that I left on the Eastern European mission even before Rabbi Fersko started, and Cantor Singer left on paternity leave on the day she started, and 2 weeks before student Cantor Jay O'Brien joined us, Rabbi Fersko was thrust into leadership on the very first day, and by every account and by all measurements, she has done a terrific job. I told her of my first Shabbat here at the synagogue 8 years ago. There were 15 people in the sanctuary. I know, because they were few enough to count. And my first words, listen to this, my first ever words from the pulpit of the Stephen Wise Free Synagogue were, "Do you even know who I am?" So it's pleasing to me that these were not her first words, right? And that this synagogue and we have come a very long way. Before I left in mid-June, I was interviewed for over an hour by researchers at the University of Chicago who are conducting an in-depth investigation of religion in America. And a subset of their research, and the reason they called me, is congregations that have plowed through the recession with continuing growth. They wanted to know not only how the recession caused decline of some religious institutions, but also why some churches and synagogues just continued to grow through these years of recession and attract people. They were trying to understand from me, along with dozens of other religious institutions in the United States, how we did it. So they asked me the same generic questions they asked all of the other clergy, most of whom were Christian. Someone had worked out a series of questions, and the person interviewing me was simply asking me what they asked everyone else. So she asked, "Does anyone jump, shout, or dance spontaneously during the sermon or the services? Does anyone shout out, 'Amen, preach it, hallelujah'?" She asked me, "Do you lay hands on people to heal them? Does anyone in the congregation speak in tongues?" You know what? I could have answered yes to that question. There are people here who speak in strange, incomprehensible tongues, but I didn't think that that's really what she was referring to. It's such a pleasure to be back home in our congregation. I love coming back after being away for a while. I love coming back at this time of the season. It is such an honor and such a privilege to be entrusted with Jewish leadership. I want to leave you with one pre-High Holy Day message. We're entering a season of uplift and inspiration. Everything about this time of year portends the possibility of renewal. Many misunderstand the High Holy Days, thinking that they are heavy and somber or perhaps even morbid. It's the opposite. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are festivals that affirm life. Their central message is that we can change, we can improve, we can make amends, we can correct mistakes, we can heal. We are not defined by our failures and losses. We are defined by our constant struggle to bounce back and to move forward. It's our time of year to be grateful, for what we have. Human nature is to take for granted what we have and to complain about what is wrong with our lives. All of us do it. All of us do it all the time. This tendency is even useful. It allows us to be self-correcting and to put focus behind our ambition to accomplish and to succeed. But we all know people who never step back and put their lives in perspective. It is not that they criticize and complain. It is that this is all they do. They never consider the miracle of life and the enormous blessings of their lives. This is our time. This is the time of year. This is our season, not only to be critical, but also to strive to be joyous. Not only to desire what we do not have, but to rejoice in and be grateful for what we do have. This week's Torah portion, Ki Tavo, towards the end of Deuteronomy, the last few chapters of the Torah, contains the following verse. V'samachta b'chol asher natan lecha Adonai Elohecha u'leveitecha. And you shall rejoice. V'samachta. Be happy, enjoy, and be grateful for all of the bounty that God has bestowed upon you and your household. The first prayer that we recite in the morning when we wake up is Mode Ani. I am grateful to you, the living God, for restoring my soul. Our tradition emphasizes that we should take nothing for granted. Nothing. Not life. Certainly not life. Not health. Certainly not health. Not clothing, not family, not friends, not education, not financial resources, not community, not days of ease and days of comfort and days of peace. Most of us have never known war. Do you know how exceptional that is in the history of the annals of civilization? We should take nothing for granted. And we should rejoice in all of the good and all of the bounty that has been bestowed upon us and our household. The sages emphasize, for every breath a person takes, he should praise the Creator. Because the opposite of taking a breath is not taking a breath, and the outcome of that is usually not so good. People who take their blessings for granted, they often go through life angry. They often criticize excessively, pointing out all that is wrong. They rarely express gratitude for services rendered or for efforts made on their behalf. Some people, and we see many of them in New York City, go through life with a sense of entitlement. They find it difficult to empathize with others. They only want to receive, or if they do give, they give grudgingly. And they never look happy to us. They always seem to be agitated about something or someone. They always seem to feel that they're missing out on something better, that they're being ripped off, deprived of some benefit that others enjoy. Even though they have enough, they are never satisfied with what they have. This was the predominant characteristic of the Israelites in the desert, who complained about everything. Even the food that God miraculously delivered to them in a place of no food. Instead of saying, thank you, which we never read in the Bible, they said, we're sick of this bland manna and desert food. Give us meat. Give us steak. Give us filet mignon. Give us the king's bounty. We don't want this Bedouin food. We want a French chef. On the other hand, people who have the capacity to be grateful and not simply to take every moment for granted, such people have a sense of modesty about them and humility, no matter how accomplished they are. They look forward to helping others because they are grateful for the help that they themselves received in life. They do not say, I am successful, I am accomplished, I am wealthy, I built this all by myself. You should be more like me. Rather, they say, how fortunate I have been to receive all of this support from so many people for so long. My parents who created me and sheltered me and guided me, my family who loved me, my friends who stood by me, my teachers who taught me, my doctors who healed me, my first employer who gave a chance to me, my community that nourished me, my country that protected me. Grateful people say, without these, I could not be who I am. The Mishnah reminds us, whoever learns from another one chapter, or one ruling, or one helpful suggestion, or one verse, or even one letter, that person must show respect and be grateful. Grateful people understand that what we have is a result in large part of what we have received. They understand that this does not minimize their own success or accomplishment. It enhances their success and makes it count. Their success means something bigger beyond themselves. As Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, he who was no slouch when it came to the virtue of self-reliance. In fact, he wrote a famous essay with that name, Self-Reliance. Emerson nonetheless reminded us, a great man does not wake up on some fine morning and say, I'm full of life, I will square the circle. The world has brought him thus far on this way. The human race has gone out before him, sunk the hills, filled the hollows, and bridged the rivers. Men, nations, poets, artisans, women, all have worked for him. And be grateful not only for what you have received, but from what you have been spared. I could have gotten sick this year. Others did. I could have died this year. Others did. I could have lost a loved one this year. Others did. Could have lost a job this year. Others did. I could have fallen into despair this year. Others did. I could have suffered all sorts of misfortunes. Others did. And even if we did suffer such misfortunes, let us be grateful that they did not break us, that we recovered and we were strengthened through the strength of others. And so this year, when we gather with our community and our loved ones, let us not only be critical. There is an important place for criticism and self-criticism in Judaism. Let us also give thanks. Let us be grateful for what we have and for all of the good that God has bestowed upon us and upon our households.